In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline and welcome onto the program Jordan Schultz, NFL newsbreaker and insider, who has been all over all kinds of NFL news over the last few weeks and throughout the offseason. Jordan, you're on in D.C. with Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for the
appreciate
time.
You,
we appreciate you. So why don't we start with the big Matthew Judon trade that just went down yesterday? The Patriots sending a legitimate edge rusher. He was averaging a sack a game for a month before he got hurt last year. Double-digit sack seasons back-to-back before that. He goes to Atlanta. They really needed pass rush help, and they gave up a third-round pick back to the Patriots. What'd you make of this deal from both sides?
So I think you got to start with Atlanta clearly wanting a pass rusher for quite some time. If you go back to last year, they wanted to get Montez Sweat. They were unable to get him. He goes to Chicago. Ironically, Chicago was also in on Matthew Judon. Now, Judon was offered real money from New England, did not want to be there, was very clear. He's only making $6.5 million next year. And Atlanta's thinking, to your point, here's a guy who, yes, he's coming off of a torn pec, but when healthy, is one of the better pass rushers in football. He's versatile. He turned 32 yesterday, still got some juice. And if they don't restructure him, then he hits free agency, and he's going to be very motivated, you know, to have a big-time season. And I think Atlanta has felt like, and you obviously saw they get Justin Simmons yesterday, that the missing piece for them was a pass rusher. And now you pair him with the Grady Jarrett, a couple of the younger guys they have. They have two solid backers. You have the Simmons-Bates 1-2 safety punch. It makes a lot of sense for them. And it was a trade that developed pretty quickly. When I you know, broke the news, one of the things that a couple other teams asked me was, why would Atlanta give a 3 back? It should be a 4 or a 5. And the answer was, Atlanta is really going all in on this season. They already are paying Kirk Cousins real money. They obviously, we just mentioned the Simmons. They have a really good young corner in AJ Terrell. And then offensively, you're going to see an entirely different offense with Zach Robinson. I think he is going to be the unlock for Bijan Robinson, for Drake London, for Kyle Pitts. And obviously, his play-action system is very quarterback-friendly to a guy like Kirk Cousins. It's similar to what he ran in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell, also from the Sean McVay tree. So a lot of moving parts, but I think ultimately New England, I don't want to say punting on the season, but clearly realizing they're not going to be a playoff team, and also understanding that now is the best time. If you can get a third rounder for a guy like Judon, it's the right move.
Yeah, Jordan, you led me to my question about Atlanta. If they were in the AFC North, I don't know that I'd advise this course, but they're not. They're in the NFC South, an eminently winnable division. It seems like they're pushing the chips in, and they think they're going to be pretty good this year.
I think that division just became Atlanta's division to lose. I think they're, like, listen, to add Judon and Simmons in less than 24 hours, I don't think people realize that Simmons is coming off probably his second or third best year. He's 29, but Bates is the best safety in the league, okay? And then Simmons is a top 5 guy. So Atlanta is looking at the quarterbacks in that division. As someone in that front office told me, you add Judon, he's going to be able to get after Derek Carr. They think he can get after Bryce Young, and they believe that he'll be able to get after Baker Mayfield, because all these quarterbacks, and even Bryce, these are pocket guys. A little scramblers with a Baker, but these are, by and large, pocket quarterbacks. It's going to make a big difference. And then to your point, you know, having Cousins is just a huge upgrade. I mean, I thought Desmond Ridder was put in a really tough position, but Arthur Smith was never and should have never been a head coach, realistically. And I think his offense really held them back. So now you have the new OC, the new head coach, who's a master defensive game planner, schemer, Raheem Morris. And I think the culture inside that building has really changed as well. And then obviously there's the Michael Penix factor. You know, at some point in a year or 2 years, I don't know if it's this season, but he's going to be the guy. And I thought the idea that you can't get a pass rusher in free agency at the trade deadline is just not true. You know, the quarterback, to take a quarterback in the top 10 in Penix when you already invested a lot of capital in Cousins, to me, was the right move if you really believe genuinely that you're not going to be able to pick there again. And if you see now, they're able to get Judon, a top-tier pass rusher, in a trade. So I really like where Atlanta's going.
Follow Jordan Schultz on social at Schultz_report. Breaks a lot of NFL news. An NFL insider joining us here on Grant and Danny. Flip side, we started the show today talking just for a couple of minutes about the Patriots out of market because we watched them in the preseason last night.
Right.
Drake May made a couple of plays. I don't really understand their philosophy this year. This deal makes sense to me because to get a third as a rebuilding team, I love that. But it does seem like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too a little bit with Jacoby Brissett and maybe not starting Drake May. What do you envision for New England this season?
It's going to be, barring something unexpected, Brissett's going to be the one to start the year. And I think Drake May, like, I really like Drake May. And I think he has all the intangibles. I think he's got a really good arm. And I thought he played pretty well last night. You saw the rushing touchdown. He can move a pocket. He's young, though. He's really young. I think New England's looking at this like, this is year one with Gerard Mayo. He is a defensive mastermind. I mean, I've talked to a couple of guys already in that locker room, defensive players. And they're like, there's a reason why this guy was such a good defensive player. And there's a reason why he's a head coach, because you're combining the leadership with the football acumen and instincts. I think he's, in many ways, he's similar to Belichick, old school defensive guy, but he's a young, vibrant, you know, guy that can relate to the players in a way that Bill, at this stage, has been one. Offensively, I'm interested to see what happens if Brissett struggles. Let's say they start 1-3, 1-4, and he's not playing well, and he's not upright. Does that mean that they go to May? They don't have a ton of weapons. I really like the Jalen Polk pick. I think he's going to be an instant contributor, as will Javon Baker out of UCF. Both those young receivers I really like. But this is not a team built to win in that division, because you're going to have to score points in that division. When we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Tua, and Josh Allen. So I think New England is looking at this realistically, to your point. We can get a third-round pick from Matthew Judon. And I do think Brissett starts the majority of the year as a result.
Jordan, the Giants executed a trade within the division. It's not a huge deal. It's a 6th and 7th rounder for Jordan Phillips. But it got me to thinking about the Giants. Similar question to what Grant just asked about the Patriots. I kind of don't really know what they're going for this year and maybe even beyond. I think they're like 5-2-1 against Washington over the last several seasons and, you know, 30 games under 500 against everybody else. I'm kind of not sure what they think of themselves. I know what I think, but how are they viewing where they are right now?
So I was at their joint practice with Detroit last week, and one of the questions I had was, is this a rebuilding year? Is this a competitive year? Is this a playoff team? Like, what do you realistically believe you are? And they believe, and maybe the rest of the division doesn't, but they believe that they're going to be a trendy up-and-coming team. What does that mean? That means that Daniel Jones is healthy. Andrew Thomas is healthy. They're all pro left tackle. And this Malik Nabers kid out of LSU is a dynamo. I mean, I think he's one of the best football players, young football players I've ever seen. And that's echoing what everyone's telling me from that building. Like, this guy is a superstar. I could see him having 100-plus catches, 1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to get a target machine. And then they have this kid at Penn State they love, this rookie, Theo Johnson. So I think they're banking on a lot of production from those guys. They're banking on the offensive line being better than it was last year. And then I think the difference is Brian Burns. I mean, he's a star. And obviously they gave up a ton of capital to get him, but they pay him. And I think that helps Kayvon Thibodeau. I think it helps the entire defensive line, which is really good. Obviously, Lawrence is terrific. You mentioned the Hicks trade or the Phillips trade. When I put that out, and when I first got wind of it, I couldn't believe it because it's so rare to see an NFC East or any interdivision trade. But that was simply, we signed him in the offseason. We were familiar with him from Buffalo, but we have a lot of really interesting young defensive linemen, and Dallas really needed a big body, and this is a conditional swap. That was more just fit and need and some of the young defensive tackles they have. But I think overall, yes, the Giants are probably more confident internally than their fans.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hands off.
Jordan Schultz, NFL insider on The Fan here in D.C. Brandon Ayuk's name has been bantied about for a few weeks.
May have seen something on that.
Here in the district, we've been paying very close attention. Now, it seems like Washington, for whatever reason, is no longer interested, but they were one of the four teams in. They're one of the two teams it seemed like he wanted to play for. First of all, give us any information you have on the Commanders and the sweepstakes for Ayuk from the last few weeks, but then also, how's this going to end? Because it seems like we're in a holding pattern.
Okay, so a lot to unpack. I think he wanted to be a Commander first and foremost. I think he wanted to reunite with Jaden Daniels, who obviously he was with at Arizona State. And I think Washington to him was the number one team if it didn't work out in San Francisco. That being said, there was no scenario in which the Commanders were trading Terry McLaurin. And I think the Commanders really believe that they have something special right now with Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. So that wasn't going to happen. Ayuk, for whatever reason, did not want to go to Cleveland, did not want to go to New England. New England was offering the most money, then Cleveland, and then Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh, I don't believe, is going to go ahead of T.J. Watt money, which means he's probably going to get 28 from them if that happens. The magic number is to get San Francisco to 28. If San Francisco comes to 28, then he's a Niner. To my understanding, that has not happened, which is why he still doesn't have the extension. I've said the last week since I reported that he had a sit-down with Kyle Shanahan and other members of the Niners organization that I believed he would be a Niner long-term. But, there's so many unknowns here. And I think the biggest issue is that you're 3 weeks or less away from the regular season, and this is still unresolved. And I'm saying this with great respect to everyone involved, but I think everyone involved is very ready for this to be resolved. That includes Pittsburgh. That includes the Niners. And I think Ayuk just wants to be paid the way that he deserves. And to me, he's a top seven, top eight receiver. He's coming off his best year. I talked to his personal coach last week. I said, where's he at right now, mentally? And he said, and this is a guy who does not blow smoke up anyone's butt. He said, this is the best he's been. This is the best shape he's been in. And he said something to him that was so interesting. He said, this is Ayuk talking, it's the first time in his NFL career where he can really watch from the sideline and see what other guys are not doing right, what they're leaving on the table, and that he's going to apply that this year. What does that mean for production-wise? I don't know. Where does that mean he ends up? I don't know. But I still believe in my heart of hearts the Niners are going to get there to 28 or somewhere around that magic number.
I want to ask you about the Jets and Jordan Schultz, NFL insider with us here on G&D. I think they're going to be good. And I know that's, people aren't used to that. The Jets are always kind of a punchline. But last year they lost 4 one-score games and finished 7-10 with one of the worst quarterback situations in the world. If Aaron Rodgers is even, late career Green Bay Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. mediocre and fine by his standard, they could still be pretty nasty in a tough division. But they got this Hassan Reddick thing hanging over their head. How does that resolve itself? And give me your Jets outlook.
I agree with the Jets. I think defensively, they're going to be really tough. They were really good last year. And then, you know, they let Bryce Huff go and then obviously made the trade with Reddick. We'll get to that in a second. To your point about Aaron, I mean, if he's average, above average, I think this is a 9 or 10 win team. If he's really good, which I expect him to be, I think they can win 11 or 12 games. I think Garrett Wilson is one of the best young players in football. I think they clearly address the offensive line with Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. And I think Breece Hall, I mean, this guy is a superstar. So they have a lot. There's a lot to like about that team. And, you know, I think the question marks are, can Robert Saleh win? I don't know if Robert Saleh can win, but I hope he can because the roster is there. And then to your point about Reddick, there's so much to unpack with that situation. But the bottom line is, and I reported I reported some of this last week when I said that this guy is requesting a trade. Here's why, and here's what happened. Before he was traded from Philly to New York, the Jets offered him a deal. He turned it down. When the trade happened, so they went ahead and made the deal anyway. When the trade happened, they told him in good faith to show up to the press conference. We will find a number that best suits you. We will take care of you. They have not talked, fellas, since March 29th. Mm. So it's 5 months, over 5 months of no communication, no proposals, no emails, nothing. And so it got to the point where it was so contentious where Hassan saying, look, I'm not going to be here if I'm not going to get what I believe I'm worth. And, you know, I think it's important to consider the only players in the league to have four seasons in a row of 10-plus sacks are T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, and Hassan Reddick. This is the guy who's an all-pro, and he needs to be paid. The Jets have not budged. My interpretation, he's already racked up, by the way, about $2.5 million in fines. So I think he's committed to this process. There's no scenario in my mind where he gets on the field week one without a restructured deal. I don't think an extension at this point is reasonable, but I do think it's possible that come week one or right around week one, before week one, that they can restructure it, put some incentives in there, and they can hopefully move on amicably.
So maybe that's the answer, but that's where I was going to go to finish up, Jordan, is he really doesn't have any leverage to speak of. I mean, if he doesn't show up, he can't accrue the season. If they say they're not going to pay him, then they can continue to fine him. The new CBA makes it really, really hard. And the few guys that have ever really taken a stand, I mean, missing a season, not that he even has the ability to get to free agency anyway, but it can be career-altering and, in some cases, career-killing.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that have done it, that have really waited and played hardball, the ones that come to mind, Nick Bosa got $34 million. That's obviously, you know, that's a generational player. But he waited till right, you know, week one. Burrow waited, obviously. Zeke Elliott waited. He got a big deal. There are instances where it happens. But to your point, I mean, it's not a good scenario. He's a football player. He doesn't want to sit out. I mean, he knows how good the team can be. I think at some point, someone's going to blink. And I think it's going to be the Jets because I think the Jets know when they let Bryce Huff go, they knew they needed to add a pass rusher. They also traded John Franklin Myers, their other pass rusher, to get some cap room. And they know as well that next year, I mean, just think about who's eligible for an extension next year. Jermaine Johnson is a really good young pass rusher. They have Will McDonald coming up. They got Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. All these guys are going to want their money. And so at some point, I do think the Jets are going to have to restructure. I think they need him on the field, and I think they know that even if they won't admit it.
Could just be talk. That statement they put out was about as powerful as I've seen.
It was.
Pretty firm, yeah.
Basically, Joe Douglas, I can read it real quick. He said, we have informed Hassan that we will not trade him, that he is expected to be here with his teammates, and that he will continue to be fine per the CBA if he does not report. I mean, I don't remember them, like a team that quickly going that hard after a trade demand.
Yeah, that was you know, 20 minutes after, so they clearly weren't, you know, stunned by it.
Right.
I hear what you're saying, but the Jets are, what they're trying to do is create the most powerful united front possible to tell the player we're not going to budge. But that doesn't mean that come week one, when he's still not there, that they're not going to say, okay, we can restructure, put some incentives in that won't affect our cap.
Jordan, great to catch up with you, man. Great info. Appreciate the time.
Enjoyed it. Thank you, guys. Take
Check him out. Schultz underscore report on social. Does a great job covering the NFL with us here on Grant and Danny. NFL insider Jordan Schultz.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.